B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Samach Zayin. We're going to start from the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Miyakirei Yerushalayim, the important people, the prominent people from Yerushalayim, Hayu Melavin Oisei, they would actually walk with and accompany this person that was taking the goat from the Azara till the Midbar, to the desert, where it would be thrown off the cliff, where the goat would be thrown off the cliff in a place called Azazel. They would accompany him, Oisei, Ad Sukkah Rishayna. And we have to understand as follows. This person, the Torah said that you can go from the Beis HaMikdash till the Azazel on Yom Kippur. There's no issue with that. It's a pasuk in the Torah. However, the people who were accompanying him were not allowed to go outside a tchum. Tchum means 2,000 amis outside the city that you're in when Shabbos comes in, or 2,000 amis in any direction beyond where your Eruv is. If you make an Eruv on Shabbos, on the onset of Shabbos, you are represented by some food, some bread, which you place, and then for the duration of Shabbos, you can be within 2,000 amis in any direction of your Eruv, called Eruv Tchumin. We learned about extensively in Maseches Eruvin. So we have to now determine the distance between the edge of Yerushalayim and the cliff to work out how the people are going to accompany him all the way there without any one of them going outside the tchum. So the Mishnah says that they would melavin oisei, the people from Yerushalayim, they would accompany him ad sukkah rishayna, until the first of a number of huts. There were a number of huts that were spread out along the way. Exactly how many huts, we're going to discuss soon. But the people of Yerushalayim, they were allowed to accompany him until the first hut. The first hut was obviously not more than 2,000 amos away from Yerushalayim. And now the Mishnah explains, Eser sukkos Yerushalayim v'ad tzuk. Between the edge of Yerushalayim and the tzuk, and the cliff from which this goat was going to be thrown, there were 10 of these huts. Tishim ris, the distance between Yerushalayim and the cliff was 90 ris. Sheva umechza, there were 7.5 ris lekol mil, for every mil, which was a mil is 2,000 amis, which means that in total there were 12 mil between Yerushalayim and the cliff. And we have to work out exactly how this works. Al kol sukkah v'sukkah, oimrin loy harei mozoin v'harei mayim. And each of these intervals, at each time where this person, the ish iti, would arrive at one of these huts, then the people in the huts would say to him, you know, you want food, you want drink. Obviously, it's Yom Kippur. He's only allowed to eat or drink if he has to, if he feels that it's pikuach nefesh. But they would offer it to him, and the Gemara is going to explain why. Umelavin oisei, and the people from one sukkah, one of these huts, would accompany him misukkah to sukkah until the next hut. Chutz miachren shebahen, because we saw before how many sukkahs were there. There were 10 huts. What was the distance between Yerushalayim and the tzuk and the cliff? We said was tishim ris, which is 12 mil. Now, so if you have from Yerushalayim, you have 10 huts, so you have from Yerushalayim to the first hut, from the first hut to the second hut, etc., till the 10th hut. When you get to the 10th hut, you've now reached the edge of 10 mil. So you can go another mil, because you can go beyond that hut, 2,000 amos in either direction, but that only takes you to 11 mil. You are a mil away, you're 2,000 amos away from the cliff that he couldn't go. So the Mishnah says that chutz me'acharin, the last of these, the people in the last hut, they were shebahen, she'enei magia imoy letzuk, they could not accompany him all the way to the cliff, because the cliff was 2,000 amos beyond the 2,000 amos limit from that final hut. There were only 10 huts. 10 huts from Yerushalayim, 10 huts going 2,000 amos between each of them, and 2,000 amos beyond the last one takes you to 11 mil. The last mil, they could not accompany him. El oimid merochik, they would stand at a distance, v'roya es maisov, and observe what he was doing. Maho yo'isa, what would he do? This ish iti would arrive in the desert of the Azazel, he would arrive at the cliff, what would he do? Choylek loshein shel zahiris. He would take a strip of red wool and he would split it into two. Chetzioi kosher besela. Half of it he would tie to the rock, a nearby rock. V'chetzioi kosher ben shnei karnov, and half he would tie between the horns of the goat. V'doch ve'la achirov, he would push the goat backwards over the cliff, for whom is galgil v'yered, and the goat would roll down. V'lohoyo magiei l'chetzi ahar, it wouldn't reach halfway down the cliff, the mountain, achenase vorim evorim, until it was totally dismembered, until it was limbs, it would be broken to pieces. What would he do after that? Bar v'yoshav loy tacha sukkah achreina, he would go back, even though he's already finished doing what he has to do. And it's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to go more than 2,000 amos. And here he's going back to the last of the huts, and which was 4,000 amos. And he was allowed to go there. Number one, it was Yom Kippur, he was very weak, and he wouldn't have the strength to stay at the top of the cliff on his own till the end of the fast, and also he would be afraid to stay there after it's dark. Therefore, for reasons of pikuach nefesh, they allowed him to go back to the last of the huts, achetechshach. He would wait there until it would become dark, until the end of Yom Kippur. The Mishnah's final statement, u'me'emosai metami begodov, the pasuk says that mishaleach es hasoyer yichabes begodov, his clothes become tomei, they have to be cleansed, they have to be put into a mikvah. At what point do his clothes become tomei? Mishayotze chutz l'chomas Yerushalayim, the Tanakhama says from the point where he leaves the walls of Yerushalayim. Reb Shimon oymer mishas tchiyosei letzuk, Reb Shimon says they only become tomei when he actually pushes the goat off the cliff, says the Gemara. And now, just in order we should understand the Gemara, we're going to have now four opinions, and regarding the distance between Yerushalayim and the cliff. And in each of these opinions, we have to discuss and determine the four pieces of information. Number one, how many laps or legs of the journey were there? We know that according to the Tanakam in the Mishnah, there were 11 laps. There was from Yerushalayim to the first hut, and that was number one. Number two was till the second hut. Number 10 was till the 10th hut. And then number 11 was from the last hut until the cliff. There were 11 laps in his journey. There were 10 huts, 10 sukkos. That's the second piece of information. There was 12 mil, the distance, the 12 mil between Yerushalayim and the cliff. And there were how many groups of people would accompany him? We saw in the Mishnah there were 11. There was the Yakire Yerushalayim would take him from Yerushalayim to the first hut. The people in the first hut would take him and accompany him to the second hut. The second hut to the third hut, etc. From the 10th hut to 2,000 amos away from the cliff would be the 11th set. So we have here 11 sets of people who were accompanying him. So those are the four pieces of information: how many laps in the journey, how many huts, what the distance was, and how many melavim there were, how many people were to accompany him. And we saw, according to Tanakhama in the Mishnah, there were 11 laps, there were 10 sukkos, it was 12 mil, and there were 11 sets of people that were melavim. That was the Tanakh in the Mishnah, and we're going to see it's the opinion of Rav Meir. But there's going to be some more opinions. Tanu Rabbanon, Eses sukkos, 10 sukkos of 12 milin and 12 mil between Yerushalayim and the cliff, which is the opinion mentioned in our Mishnah, Divi Reb Meir, that was the opinion of Reb Meir. And obviously, if you've got 12 mil and just 10 huts, then the last mil, nobody will be able to accompany him because it's outside the Tchum. And we assume that each of the people in the huts, their place of residence was in those huts when Shabbos Yom Kippur started. That was the Eruv. They were allowed to go in either direction, 2,000 amos, but they had to stay based around their huts. So that was the opinion of Rab Meir. Rab Yehuda argues and says no. He says, Teisha sukkos, there were only 9 huts, not 10 huts. Va'asara milin, there were only 10 mil between Yerushalayim and the cliff. if there were only 9 huts, and there was 1 mil from Yerushalayim to the first hut, another mil from the first hut to the second hut, then when you have 9 huts, then you have from the last hut until the tzuk, you've got a total of 10 mil, and the people in the last hut, in the 9th hut, could actually take him all the way to the cliff and didn't have to leave him halfway to the cliff, as Reb Meir had to say. According to Reb Yehuda, there were 10 laps of the journey. There was from Yerushalayim till the first hut, and then there was till the 9th hut, and then from the 9th hut till the tzuk. There were altogether only the 10 laps in the journey. There were 9 sukkahs. There was 10 mil between Yerushalayim and the cliff, and there were 10 sets of people that were accompanying him. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yossi makes a bold suggestion. Till now we understood that each of the people accompanying him, their place of residence, their center of residence when Yom Kippur came in, was in the hut. So they could each go 1 mil in each direction, but till now we've only discussed going 1 mil beyond from the hut they were until the next hut, which was obviously just under 2,000 amos. Reb Yossi says, no, it could well be that the Eruv was positioned in between 2 huts. There was a distance of under 2,000 amos, between the Eruv and the hut on each side, which means that there was an average of almost 2 mil, 1.7 mil, which is somewhere between just under 3,500 amos between one hut and the next. You cannot walk. If you're spaced in one hut, you can't walk 3,500 amos. But if your Eruv is in between the 2 huts, you can walk under 2,000 amos one way to one hut, and then you can walk under 2,000 amos the other way to the other hut. So Reb Yossi says, Chomesh Sukkos, there were only 5 huts, Vasara Milin, and nonetheless there were 10 mil, in that point he agrees with Reb Yehuda, there was 10 mil between Vasara Milin, there were 10 mil between Yerushalayim and the cliff, and nonetheless it was enough to have just 5 cliffs, and there would be people who would be able to accompany this person all the way from Yerushalayim till the cliff. The Kulon al Yedei Eruv, in contrast to Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, where we assume that the center of residence of each of these Melavim, those that were accompanying him, were in the huts. When Shabbos Yom Kippur came in, they were in the huts, and all they needed to go was 2,000 amos from one hut to the next hut. They didn't need to actually put an Eruv down. However, Reb Yossi says that they may have been in the hut, but the hut was not their center of residence. Their center of residence was where their food that was representing them was someplace between the 2 huts. So he put some bread someplace, made an Eruv Tchumen between the 2 huts. And now, for example, someplace between less than 2,000 amos away from Yerushalayim, they would put the Eruv. And then they would be able to go. When Shabbos comes in, they would be able to go towards Yerushalayim up to 2,000 amos and be there when Shabbos comes, or Yom Kippur comes in. And then the next day, they would be able to go beyond the Eruv, just under another 2,000 amos towards the next hut. So if you've got here, altogether, you've got 6 laps of the journey from Yerushalayim to the first hut, from the first hut to the second hut, to the third, to the fourth, to the fifth. That's 5 laps, and then from the fifth to the cliff is the 6th lap. In between each of these laps, there were actually 1.7 mil, which is almost 3,500 amos, but between each hut, they would put an Eruv. So you only needed 6 sets of Melavim. The people whose Eruv was between Yerushalayim and the first hut, they could go towards Yerushalayim to meet this person and then accompany him beyond the Eruv to the first hut, which was less than 2,000 amos away from the Eruv. And then the people who had made the Eruv between hut number 1 and hut number 2, they could then go to hut number 1 to greet him, to fetch him, and take him 1.7 mil until the hut number 2. because they had an Eruv in the middle. And each of these six groups of Melavim would do the same. And the last group, the last people who were accompanying him, would fetch him from hut number five and take him all the way to the cliff. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. So in total, you had, according to Rabbi Yossi, you had five sukkos, 10 mil, six Melavim, and six legs in the journey. Omer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said that Sochli Elozo Bani, Elozo Bani, he laughed at me. He says, if you're going to resort to making an Eruv, then I've got even a better idea. Then Imali de Eruv, Yechol Nilasais, I can get you from Yerushalayim till the cliff, 10 mil, afilu shtei sukkos, vasoro milin. Even with just two huts, I can make sure this person has people to accompany him, all 10 mil with just two huts. How are you going to do that? Yes, if between Yerushalayim and the first hut there were 4 mil, which is 8,000 amos, how can people accompany 8,000 amos? Yes, group number one would put their Eruv 2,000 amos from Yerushalayim. So the people who had that Eruv, they could take him from Yerushalayim till the Eruv of 2,000 amos, and then another 2,000 amos till beyond the Eruv. That's already 4,000 amos, that's 2 mil. When you've got to 2 mil, there's no hut there. But the people, there were another set of people who actually put an Eruv 3 mil, 6,000 amos away from Yerushalayim, so they could walk back towards Yerushalayim 2,000 amos to the meeting point, which is 2,000 amos beyond where the first people's Eruv was. And then they could go another 2,000 amos from there, which is already 4 mil, till a sukkah. So that you can get people, if you have two Eruvs between, and one person can't have two Eruvs, but two groups of people, each could have an Eruv, but within, between Yerushalayim and the first sukkah, which means that if you have two sets of people, each with an Eruv, that means you can have people accompanying him from Yerushalayim until 8,000 amos beyond Yerushalayim, with before your first hut. And then between hut number one and hut number two, you do exactly the same thing. There would be one group of people who would have an Eruv of 2,000 amos closer to the cliff from that first sukkah. They would walk back to the first sukkah to fetch this person, walk 2,000 amos beyond the Eruv to halfway between sukkah number one and sukkah number two, at which point he would be met by the people who have an Eruv another mil closer to the cliff, who would come and fetch him from and meet him from where this the third group of people would have to leave him, and take him 2,000 amos beyond their Eruv till sukkah number two. So you've got now, you've reached sukkah number two and you've already 8 mil. You're already 16,000 amos out away from Yerushalayim. Now you've got another 2 mil. There's only 2 mil left till the tzuk. So you've got the last group of people who would put an Eruv between the second sukkah and the cliff, and they would then be able to go 2,000 amos to fetch this person at the end of the 8th mil and take him all the way to the cliff at the 10th mil. So you've got here altogether 5 sets of people, only 3 laps of the journey from Yerushalayim to the first sukkah, second sukkah to the cliff. You've got only 2 sukkos and you have 10 mil. And Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yossi, if you're resorting to being able to use an Eruv, I only need 2 sukkos. Continues the Gemara. Kaman oz lahod tanya, which opinion of the 3 opinions we've just learned, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, and a 4th opinion, Rabbi Elazar, who commented on Rabbi Yossi, which of those opinions is this Braisa, the Tanya, chutz mi'achrin shabahem, that we saw in the Braisa, and the Mefarshim discuss why doesn't he ask about our Mishnah, because our Mishnah also says the same thing, that the last set of people who are accompanying him, shaloi higia imay letzuk, they could not reach the cliff, because it was too far away. Hela oimid mirochoik, they would stand at a distance, v'royas maisob. Which opinion is that? Says the Gemara, kaman kerab mea. It's only following Rab Meir. Rab Meir is the only opinion that says that there were 12 mil, not 10 mil. He's the only one that they could not actually accompany him all the way to the cliff. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Elazar, there were only 10 mil between Yerushalayim and the cliff. And with the various opinions and arrangements, they could actually accompany him all the way to the cliff. Continues the Gemara. Al kol sukkah v'sukkah oimrim loy hari mozoin vari mayim. At each hut they would offer him food. And say, if you need food, here's food, here's water. Says the Gemara, Tana me'oilam loy hutzuch adam lekach. It was never necessary for this person to actually take up the offer and eat or drink on Yom Kippur. So why did they offer it to him? Ela she'ein edoim mamish yeshli pas besaloi. Somebody who's got bread in his basket, his levels of hunger are not comparable to misha'ein le pas besaloi. Somebody who's got bread in his basket doesn't feel so hungry. This person knew that I'm passing all these cliffs, all these huts, and at any point if I need to, I can eat. That already helped him to not feel the need to eat and drink on Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara. Ma hoya oise. What would this person do when he reaches the cliff? Choylik loshen shal zahiris, he would split a strip of red wool. And just for reference, we saw in Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, we already discussed the strip of wool that was associated to this goat. And the Tosfos Yeshanim here discusses how the two sugyas actually work together. They don't really, it's complicated. You can look in the Tosfos Yeshanim. But either way, says the Gemara, why did you have to split the strip of wool? Which, according to Tosfos Yeshanim, he may well have put this strip there at the top of this cliff even before Yom Kippur. It was waiting for him there. It could be he brought it along with the goat. That's a discussion. But either way, he took this strip and he split it into two. Half he tied to a rock, and half he tied on between the horns of the goat that was going to be thrown over the cliff. And it was a red piece of wool, and it was the hope of Klal Yisrael, of this person, of everybody, that miraculously this strip of wool would actually change color from red to white, which would be a sign that Hashem had atoned Klal Yisrael. And interestingly enough, that this strip could have changed color even before the goat was thrown over the cliff. Let's see the Gemara. V'naktere kulei basela. Why do you have to tie half of the wool between the horns of the goat and half onto the rock? Why couldn't you just tie the whole thing to the rock, throw the goat over the cliff, and hope that the wool, which was now tied between the rock, would change color? Says the Gemara. Kiven de mitzvah. Besoyer, since there's a mitzvah to actually throw the goat over the cliff, Dilma may be kodim umalbin, maybe that the wool is going to change color before this person throws the goat over the cliff. Umiyasudait, he'll be all happy, he'll be confident, Baruch Hashem, Hashem's atoned and forgiven Klal Yisrael. He may forget and get carried away and not throw the goat over the cliff. He may think he doesn't have to throw the goat over the cliff anymore, and therefore, no. We said split it up. Half should go onto the rock, half will be put between his horns, and that way he won't forget to actually throw the goat over the cliff. And we assume that the thread will not change color before he's done what he has to do with putting half on the rock, half between its horns, and he'll then throw the goat over the cliff. Asks the Gemara, V'naktere kulei bein karanov, why don't you then just tie the entire strip of wool between the horns of the goat? And that way you'll remember, you'll be constantly occupied with the goat, and you'll remember to throw it over the cliff, irrespective of when the strip changes color. And why do you have to put any of the strip between the rocks? Why do you have to tie it to the rock? Answers the Gemara, Zimnin de gomish le l'resha, when you throw the goat backwards, actually, over the cliff, it could be that he will bend his head between his feet, v'lavadate, and then the person throwing the goat over the cliff will not be able to discern whether the thread actually changed color or didn't change color, and it was important for Klal Yisrael to know whether they had received their atonement or not. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Barishayna, at first, Hoyukoishrin Loshin Shel Zahiris, they would tie a strip of red wool al Pesach Ulam Mibachutz onto the entranceway of the Ulam. As we know, the Ulam was the entranceway into the Heichal, a very wide Ulam, which in and of itself had an inner door and an outer door. On this outer entrance, on the outer door of the Ulam, they would tie this strip. And this strip would change color depending on whether they got atonement or didn't get atonement. Hilbin, if this red strip of wool became whitened, hoyusmeichim, they were happy. Loy hilbin, if unfortunately it stayed red, hoyuatzevim, they were disheartened, umizbaishim, they were embarrassed, now Hashem hadn't atoned them. Now exactly what the problem was, whether there was an issue with an over degree of complacency, had they, when it changed to white, or whether there was too much disheartenment when it didn't change white, is a discussion in the Mefarshim. But either way, the Chachomim were not happy with the fact that it was exposed to everybody what the status was, whether the wool changed to white or didn't. And therefore, Iskinu, they decreed, they said, Sheyu Koshin al Pesach Ulam Bifnim. They would actually tie this thread, this strip of wool, not at the outer entrance of the Ulam, but inside the entrance of the Ulam. And that way they hoped that the people, the public, would not see whether it changed color or not. Vadayin Oyu Matzitzin Varoyin, there were still those that would peek in and see. And then we had the same issue that Hilbin Hoyu Smeichin, if it became white, they would be very happy. Loy Hilbin Hoyu Atzevim. And therefore, Iskinu, they made the takona sheyu koishin oisoi, that they would tie this strip, chetzioi, basela, half on the rock at the top of the cliff, where the animal was actually going to be thrown over the cliff, vechetzioi bein karnov, and half between the horns of the goat. And that's what they would do. Omer of Nochem bar Papa, Mishum Rebeloza Kapor. Borishoino, at first, Hoyukoshin Loshin Shel Zuhuris al Pesach Ulam Mibifnim. He argues with the previous Brisa, and he says that even at first they would tie this strip of wool to the inside of the Ulam, not the outer entrance. Vekivun Sheigia, Soir Lemidbar, once the goat would reach the desert of the Azazel, Hoyo Malbin, it would turn white, Vyedu, and they would know Shenasis Mitzvosoi, that the mitzvah had been done with the Azazel. And it was approximately at the time when the goat was actually thrown over the cliff. Shenemer, it says in the Pasuk, Apostle Novi in Yeshaya, Luchu Nov Nivochacho Yemar Hashem, Emyucha Teichem Kashonim, if your sins are compared to red, Kashele Galbinu, they will be whitened like snow. Vimadimu Katoilo, Katzemer Yu. Continues the Gemara. Loy Hoyo Magia Le Mechtis Ahor, the Mishnah says that by the time the goat reached halfway down the cliff, it was totally broken up into limbs. Iboyeluhu, Oyson Eivorim, those limbs, Mahin Bahano, is one allowed to have benefit from them or not? Rav Shmuel's machlekes chad omar mutorin, one said it was mutter v'chad omar asurin. Mand omar mutorin, the opinion that says that they are mutter bahana, dichsiv, he learns it out from the fact that it says in the pasuk, v'nosu asoyer olov eskol avaynoisom el eretz gezeiro, v'shilach es asoyer bamidbar. They would send the goat bamidbar to the desert. So since it says Bamidbar, and we learn from there that once you've done what you have to do, then it's compared to desert. And the same way as desert is ownerless, it's hefker, so too the limbs of this animal are considered hefker and are not osur bahana. Umando marasurin, the opinion that says that the limbs are osur, dichsiv, they learn out from the same posuk, it says that this desert is referred to as Eretz Gzera, which the translation of that would probably be an uninhabited place, but it refers to and alludes to stringency, to choymer, to isser, and since we refer to the place as gzeira, as being uninhabited, then we can assume that the limbs there will be osser. Umando Omar Asurin, the opinion who says that these limbs are osser, hai midbar mai ovitle, what does he do with the fact that the posuk says an extra word, midbar, the desert, and he cannot learn from there that the limbs are hefker and anyone can use them and benefit from them like midbar, like hefker, because the current opinion that says it's osser, he doesn't learn that from the word midbar, what does he do with it? We already have a brisa that associates to the fact that the word midbar in this context is mentioned in the Psukim three times. And what do we learn from that? Because it says in the Pasuk, V'asoyer asha'ol olov agoyro la'azozel yo'o matchai lifnei Hashem l'chapir olov l'shalach oisei la'azozel ha'midboro. The first time it says midbor. And then there's a Pasuk a little bit later in the parasha where again it says, Biyad ish iti hamidboro. And then the pasuk we just mentioned, v'shilach es ha-soir bamidbor, three times l'rabbis to tell us that you have to send Azazel to the midbar and do this mitzvah with Azazel, throwing it over the cliff, not only in the Mishkan, which is where the Psukim are talking about with Aaron HaKohen, but also the Mishkan of Noiv v'Givoin, in two places where the Mishkan moved, one Noiv, one Givoin, they had the same status, the same halachas, and also the Mishkan Shiloi, which had its own set of halachas, and also Beis Olamim in the Beis HaMikdash. In all these three stages of resting places of the Shechina, not only the Mishkan in the Midbar, but also the Mishkan in its Noiv and Givoin stage, also Mishkan in its Shiloi stage, and also Beis HaMikdash, that the same halachas applied, that there was a mitzvah to send the goat to be thrown over the cliff, La'azazel. And the Gemara now says, V'idach, and the opinion that says, that we learn out from the words Bamidbar, that the Ivarim are mutter, what do they do with the word gezeira? Hai gezeira mai ovidle? Answers the Gemara, mi boili lekadetanya, we use it for as in the following brisa. Gezeira, from the fact that the place, the land where this cliff is called gezeira, ein gezeira elo chatucha. One of the translations, one of the ways that the word gezeira is used is from the term of being cut. And this is a land where there is a cliff, and a cliff is a mountainside which is severed, it's cut, it's got points on it, it's got a sharp point, and when the animal, the goat, is thrown over the cliff, it will be ripped to pieces. Dover Achir. Another explanation would be, Ein Gezeira Elo Dover Hamisgazir V'yoyrod. It's not that the area, the land itself, has to be, so to speak, cut, rather it's referring to the animal, where there's something which is going to be cut to pieces, which is the animal when it's thrown over the cliff. Dova Achir, another explanation, Gezeira. The word Gezeira doesn't mean from the term cut, rather it means from the term of a decree, like a Gezeira, as we know in the terms of Chazal, that the Chachomim made Gezeiros. A Gezeira is where there's a decree. Shem, and why do we need such a term? Shem or Toimar? Because are you going to say, this whole concept of throwing a goat over the cliff is something which we don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. Talmud Lema, that's what it says. Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. Ani Hashem gezartiv. I am the Hashem that has decreed. I've told you to do this. Ve'in l'choroshus l'harabem. And you don't have any permission to try and understand it, to think about it. There are some things which you have to do what you're told with, even though you don't understand it. Omar Rava says, Mistabru commando Omar Mutorin, it's logical to follow the opinion that says that these limbs are mutter, because like Omra Torah, shlach litakola. It's not probable, the Torah says, throw this goat over the edge of this cliff, and then it's going to be a stumbling block to somebody who's going to find these limbs and may want to benefit from them, and they're asur bahana. So if the Torah says, throw the goat over the cliff, it's probable that after that, the Torah allows us to benefit from them. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Azazil. The word Azazil has in it the word az, which is harshness. Sheyehe az v'kosha, it should be rugged and harsh. That's what the cliff is. It should be a hard rock with lots of points in order that this goat will actually be able to be torn apart when it's thrown over there. Yochel b'yishuv, I may have thought that this cliff can be in an inhabited area. Talmud Leima bar Midbar, it says in the same pasuk, v'shilach es ha-soyer b'midbar. No, it should be a desert area. U'minayin shebetzuk, how do you know that it should be on a very vertical and upright cliff? Talmud Leima gzeira, we learn it out from the word gzeira. As we saw before, the word gzeira means that it's cut. It's not just a hill with a slope, rather it's a cliff with jagged points. Tanya Idach, in another braisa we learned, Azazil, the word Azazil also has the word as, it's hard, Kosha Shebahorim, it is hard, very, it's of all the mountains, it's the hardest of all of them, V'cheinu Omer, and we find, because the word Azazil has the word, not only as, it has the word el in it, and the word el means harshness, and as we see in the pasuk, ves eile haaretz, the strong of the land, lokach. So you see that the eile means the mighty. So this land also, Azazil, is a land which is very mighty. It's the kosher shebahorim. Tonu de Berib Shmuel Azazel, that the word Azazel, why is it called Azazel? This is actually alluding to an incident that happened many years earlier, where there actually some Malachi Chabola, some angels, some very, you know, bad angels, as we would call them, destructive angels that came down to earth, and they were engaged in inappropriate relationships with the girls at the time. So the concept, and those two Malachim, they were called Uzzah v'Azazel, and the Azazel actually is Shem Chapir, it atones Al Maisa Uzzah v'Azazel for inappropriate relationships similar to those done by Uzzah v'Azazel. They are atoned for by the Azazel. Continues the Gemara Tonu Rabbonon. It says in the Pasuk, Es mishpotai tasu, you should do my mishpotim, the rules, the instructions that I'm giving you, ves chukoisai tishmuru. Lolechas bem ani Hashem elekeichem. So the Pasuk actually refers to mishpotim and to chukoisai. Mishpotim are laws that can be understood. And the chukoisai are those things that wouldn't make any sense, even if, that means if it wouldn't say it, we wouldn't dream of introducing them. The mishpatim are those that even if they would not be written, we would encourage and introduce those laws because they make sense. Dvarim shel moli le'nichtavu, even had they not been written, dinu she'ichtavu, it's logical and makes sense that they should be part of our system. Ve'eluhein de'a avaydezara, not serving idols, v'gilu arayas, not engaging in inappropriate relationships, v'shvichas dom, in bloodshed, v'gezel, theft, u'birchas Hashem, and chas v'shalom, cursing Hashem. The Gemara doesn't want to use the word cursing, so the Gemara uses the opposite term, meaning birchas, but we know what it means. That's what we learn from es mishpotai tasu, mishpotim are those laws that are almost self-explanatory. Es chukoisai tishmeru, Tishmaru, these chukim, which are not, a chok is something which we don't understand. These are dvarim shasotan meishiv aleim. The Yetzirah, the Satan, challenges us with them. Ve'elu hein, they are, for example, achilas chazir, eating pig, ulevishas shatnas, and not eat, the issa to eat pig, and the issa to wear woolen linen in the same garment, v'chalitzas yivoma, and if in the case the concept of chalitza, which is what a woman, if somebody lost a husband and she didn't have any children, then his brother does Yibum. If he doesn't want to do Yibum, then he does Chalitza. It's a process we're going to learn about in Maseches Yevomis. That's also something that the whole procedure there is one that can be challenged if we were to look at it from logic point of view. But Taharas Mitzera, and the procedure, the way a Mitzera becomes Tahir, V'soira Mishtaleach, and this goat being thrown over this cliff is also something that is not really self-understood. Are you going to say, maybe indeed there's no value in doing these things and we don't need to follow them? Talmud Lomer, that's why it says in the same Pasuk, Ani Hashem Elekeichem, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, Chokaktiv, I have decreed that you should do these things. Vein Nechol Rishus L'Harabem, you have no permission to try and understand them. It won't help you. You cannot understand them. I, Hashem, do understand them, and I know what I'm doing by telling you to do this, and you just have to follow the instructions. Continues the Gemara, the final statement to the Mishnah, Emosai begod, Metami Begodim, at what point do the clothes of this person bringing the goat to the cliff become Tomei? Ton Rabbonon says the Gemara in the Braisa, Meshaleach Metami Begodim, Ve'ein HaShileach Es HaMeshaleach Metami Begodim. Only the person who's actually taking the goat from the Beis HaMikdash to the Azazel is the one that his clothes become Tomei, but those who are accompanying him, as we saw in the previous Gemara on Amud Aleph, that there were people who would actually accompany him from Yerushalayim till the cliff, their clothes would not become Tomei. That the Shalech Samashalech, those that are sending, accompanying, the one that's taking, that is being sent with the goat, are not Metamei Begodim. Yochel Mishyetze Chutz L'Chemes Azara. I may have thought that his clothes become Tomei as soon as he's left the walls of the Azara. Talmud Leimar, it says in the Pasuk, V'hamashaleach es asoyer la'azazil, that it's only when it's mashaleach, when it's out on the way. If it's only that when he's out and he's already reached the desert, only then, from the word of Mashaleach, means not when you're still in the town, in Yerushalayim, leaving the Azara, it's only when you reach the desert, where this cliff is situated, Yochel Ad Sheyagia LeTzoik, I may have thought that his clothes only become tomei when he actually reaches the cliff. Talmud Lo'ima says no. It says v'hamashaleach, that even whilst you're still in transit, when you're still on the way, the clothes become tomei, because it says there v'hamashaleach es hasoyer la'azazel yichabes begodov v'rochas es betzori b'mayim v'acharchein yovei la'machane. Ha'ketzad. So when I mean, it's got to be on the way, but it's still whilst on the way. I mean, it's got to be enough on the way, which tells us that when it leaves the Azara, still in Yerushalayim, it's not yet Tommy, but it's got to be on the way. You don't have to have arrived at your destination. At what point in between do we say that he becomes Tommy? Okay, it said, Mishayotzo, Chutz Lechimas Yerushalayim, Divi Rabbi Yehuda. As soon as he's left the walls of Yerushalayim, at that point he's already enough underway that he's considered Hamashaleach, and his clothes are Tommy. Rabbi Yosi says that the fact that it says in the pasuk "Vamashaleach es hasoyer la'azazel yichabes begodov," we learn from there "Ad sheyigia letzoik," that only when he gets to the cliff called Azazel, only at that point his clothes become tommy. Reb Shimon says that we learn from the words "Vamashaleach es hasoyer la'azazel yichabes begodov," that only zorkei bevasroish. Says Reb Shimon that when you throw it over the cliff, head first, once you've thrown it, umatami begodim, only then, once you've actually thrown the animal over the cliff, then his clothes become tomei, not when he left Yerushalayim, not when he reached the cliff, but when he's actually thrown the goat over the cliff, that's when his clothes become tomei. And Emirat Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.